On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Mark Reardon, and Mark is out at the golf course, of course, like thousands of other people. And over the weekend, they're expecting, 40,000 people a day to go out to the BMW Championship. It's going to be lots of fun over the weekend. Beautiful weather. I had a chance to chat with a terrific guy. He's a culture warrior. His name is Brandon Showalter. I did that on a podcast I do called the Heidi Harris Show Podcast. And we did this the other day. I had seen an article he'd written. I've followed him for years. He writes for the Christian Post. And he wrote an article about what he's learned in the 10 years that he's been writing on the transgender issue, because it is a huge issue. And we see more coming out about it every single day. But there's a lot that people don't know about it. So I wanted to have him join me on Mark's show so you all could hear him if you hadn't heard him any other place or read about him. You certainly need to follow him. He's terrific. Brandon, thanks for being here. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Heidi.
He's been so courageous all these years to write about the trans issue. And talk about, for those who've not read the article, talk about some of the things that you realized covering this in 10 years that the average person was not aware of about, let's call it the transgender industry, right? That's a good term for it, don't you think?
I do think that's a great term for it. And industry is entirely appropriate, because the way in which this has been framed to the public is that quote unquote transgender people are this tiny group of struggling, you know, marginalized, you know, people who just want to live their lives like anybody else. And so it's framed in civil rights terms, when really what's at stake is reality itself. That's not overstating it. And there's an entire ideological apparatus operating underneath. And as you say, an industry that's seeking to profit both with money and with political power by, we've seen some of these things, what they call gender transitions, biggest misnomer in the world, where we are now cutting off the breasts of girls as young as 12 in this country, doing genital disfigurements of boys as young as 15 in this country, and I have receipts proving that. That's probably the worst of it, but we're seeing that this ideology, transgenderism, like you say, been reporting on it for over 10 years now, has infected every single area of society. You mentioned the article I wrote. I wrote another one today where I'll say I quoted someone who says that the reason people can't stop talking about this issue is that, again, in addition to the false framing, transgenderism is the clearest lens through which we see the disintegration of every single Western institution. If you want to know why our society is corroding and eroding like it is, it's because we have introduced an enormously consequential lie that basically that says human sex can change. It cannot. It's not a small issue. It's destroying everything it touches. And I think Americans are finally waking up to the reality that this is so much bigger than what they ever thought.
Absolutely true. When you're talking about something as immutable as sex, how you're born, right, the parts you're born with, and that can change, that you're right. I mean, it affects every aspect of society because everything else is easily changed, I guess. That's yes, what they want you to believe.
Yes. I mean, just think about it. A lie that is that big, there's no way for that to just stay narrowly confined or dormant to just a few people who may have some psychiatric distress. Right. When you like, you know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, you know, the author of the Gulag Archipelago, his famous phrase, live not by lies. Well, what could be a bigger lie than the fact that your sex is encoded in your genes, in this nucleus of nearly every single cell in your body? And if we're just going to just change that at will because of a few feelings of some troubled people, it stuns me, Heidi, that people can't see the ripple effects after all of these years. But the activists have been very stealthily changing things in the shadows before the public was even able to perceive what was going on. And of course, right, hooking it to the wagon of civil rights makes Americans psychologically predisposed to sort of go along with it. Because if you can equate this issue with, you know, say, not turning the water hoses on the black people in the South, or, you know, separate water fountains, or, you know, sicking the dogs on them, if that's just an extension of what that is, Americans are predisposed to buy into it. I think that's an offensive comparison, because the struggle of black people in the South was very real. And it's great that, you know, equality was achieved for them. But people have hooked that to the wagon of this kind of thing where this is just the next frontier of civil rights. Nothing can be further from the truth. I believe transgenderism is many things, but one of the worst things that it is an enormous medical scandal. But again, it's been perversely rebranded as something that we have to support because it's quote-unquote healthcare or gender-affirming care for a struggling group of people. No, it's a consequential lie that is disfiguring healthy human bodies, it's tearing apart families, it's creating enormous injustices within our institutions, and it's been pretty doggone hard for the last decade to just try to get the public to understand what this actually is. So now we are finally seeing something of a reckoning with the current posture of the federal government. But people need to know that this remains deeply embedded and entrenched in our elite institutions still. And I think many of them are just trying to stay dormant for the next couple of years before they can rage back. That's
exactly
opinion.
Right. We're speaking with Brandon Showalter from the Christian Post. I'm Heidi Harrison from Mark Reardon. It's so important what you said because, you know, the things that are going on with people. Well, let's just, we have two different groups of people. You've got the people who are in on it, and then you've got the parents, many of whom are not in on this, but they are told, well, if you don't let your daughter transition, we know she doesn't transition, but take the drugs, it'll turn her in growing facial hair, cause her to grow, then your daughter's going to kill herself if you don't let her
right.
do this. That's what parents are taught. And so they love their kids. They don't want bad things to happen. Even the parents who are not on board the trans thing. And as you and I have discussed in the past, and you and I discussed on my podcast, this is not a political issue. This is not a Republican or Democrat
yep.
issue. I've talked to many liberal parents. You have too,
yes.
who are
yes.
absolutely against this. And a lot of gay people are not on board with this
yep.
either. So let's not drag them into this, right?
It is so across the spectrum. And as a traditional Christian in every sense of the phrase, I have spoken with everybody, and I don't care what your politics are, or sexuality. It's like, if you think it's wrong to cut the body parts off of a child or give a child or young person cross-sex hormones and blockers to alter their body irreversibly in pursuit of something that is physically impossible, I do not care. I mean, for goodness sakes, a medical scandal affects everyone. I have fielded phone calls from very liberal parents, homosexuals, hetero, I mean, everybody. Like, people are starting to realize what's going on, and they will reach out to anybody who's being remotely truthful about it. And so if your listeners are concerned about this, I would say the best thing to do is put all of your politics aside and focus on that one thing, because you'll find that, especially if it's a family that's affected, the suffering that they are under is absolutely staggering. It's unimaginable the kind of hell that has been unleashed in their families. And if you can't see past your politics to see the humanity of people, I think you need to examine your soul, because I would not wish the kinds of horror that these families endure when they realize that their child's going to wind up sterile or disfigured. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, Heidi. It's
no.
absolutely horrific what people are going through. And as much as there are certain people that are culpable for it and I think are to be blamed, I as a Christian want to posture myself and just be a servant and just try to help. So
right.
I would say, please put your politics aside. If you know somebody that's being affected by this, see their humanity first and don't look at it through a political lens, because honestly, if your kid's going to wind up sterile, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. This is harmful. This is a deep, deep moral wrong. It's a stain on our nation's history, and it must end. And I'm grateful to see some of the federal actions. But again, people have to understand this remains deeply entrenched in our institutions. And even as some gender clinics are being closed now because the Justice Department is forcing them to and funds are being withheld, these activists who are doing this horrible, harmful medicalization to people are creatively trying to rebrand and stealthily do it, and they're just hoping that they can wait this out. So do not think that even with the things that are happening now that this is going away unless it is thoroughly defeated. And
right,
you're going to have to do that by caring about people, no matter what their politics are.
That's right. There's a huge amount of money in it, obviously, tons
yes.
of money in it, whether the surgery. And what people need to understand, and I know you and I get this, some people don't get it, not because they're stupid, because they've never really looked into
right.
it. What they need to understand is when you, let's say you have a 12-year-old boy and suddenly he starts questioning, he wants to be a girl. He's not going to be a girl ever. And what they're going
right.
to do is make him a lifetime medical patient. That's what
yes.
they're going to do. And people don't understand that. You can't change the body parts. And we've all seen the pictures of what goes on with your body parts when they basically do. I mean, they put Mengele to shame. I'm not the first to say that, by the way, and use that example
yeah.
of what Mengele did, these experiments that he did. It's just that kind of thing they're doing. They're never going to be okay. They take these kids, many of whom have previous trauma, abuse, neglect, other things going on in their lives. They ignore all of that. No, your real problem is you think you're another sex. Send them down the hall for that, and they become a lifetime medical patient. That's something everyone also needs to understand that I don't think they do.
They don't, because once you start on this pathway, you have to keep the illusion going, because you can never override your chromosomes. Your chromosomes set in motion all of the physiological changes, your pubertal signaling, all of, there's just thousands of differences between the sexes, and it's literally encoded in our genes. And so that's immutable. It will never, ever change. And so this illusion that they're selling, that you can somehow change it by exogenously pumping your body full of hormones or cutting off certain body parts and lopping them off and then tacking on artificial ones, your genes will never change. You'll do a DNA test that will always say XX or XY. And sometimes people throw in the intersex thing with these rare genetic, you know, disorders, and the trans activists sort of use that to try and create complexity where there is none. No, even those conditions are sex specific. There are males with those conditions and females with those conditions. Your sex will never change. Biology has to be primary, because it is. And so the great lie, and activists have successfully bifurcated in the public mind this notion of sex and gender. They use them interchangeably. You know, sex, but what are only two genders? There are only two sexes. I would say to people, just in order to clear up all of the confusion that exists around this, never, ever, ever say gender when what you really mean is biological sex. Because then the activists have then confused that, and they'll say things like, well, I'm not changing my sex, I'm changing my gender. Well, yes, you are trying to change your sex, because if you're not, why are you cutting off reproductive organs? Why are you trying to, you know, your drugs that you're taking are going to impact your reproductive capacity. Yes, you are trying to change your sex, but you're just calling it gender. So people have to realize the deep layers of confusion that have been swirling around in our public discourse, and understand that it is physically impossible to change sex. And if anybody is trying to tell you otherwise, they are a liar.
No, they're a liar, and that's a big problem. And, you know, we lie to these people, and we tell them this can happen, and we know it can happen, and the suicide rate is higher with these people. And another thing that's important is you want my acceptance, right? You're mad if you somebody gets mad if you misgender them somewhere. I can't accept you if you don't accept yourself. You're the one chopping off body parts and taking drugs. And by the way, nobody here hates transgender people. I'm trying to protect them from being turned into medical eunuchs. I feel for them, but you want me to accept you, but you can't accept yourself. And that's why you continue to have surgery after surgery and more pills to try to become something you're not. And you still wind up unhappy.
And it doesn't even work. And not to be facetious about this, Heidi, but there actually isn't any such thing in a true literal sense as a transgender person. They may identify as such, but it's actually not a physical reality, because no one can ever be, you're only ever always a male or a female.
Right.
That's it. That's right. And so the whole, even the locution transgender is actually a false ontology. It's a false anthropology. It is a physical impossibility. And yeah, we should want to protect them from a predatory medical industry. But yes, it is. And here's the thing. I even know of parents that tried to sort of go along and they didn't misgender whatever. It's never enough. It doesn't work. The demand, because they're pursuing an empty promise. And so even parents who do go along, they soon find that nothing is ever enough.
Exactly.
It's
that's exactly what happens. They, you know, well, I'll accept this, I'll accept that, because the problem is psychological with this kid, and nothing is going to make them happy. No, if I get this surgery, I'll be happy. If I get that surgery, I'll be happy. No, you won't, because your problem is psychological. It has nothing at all to do with the way you were born.
Yep. You don't cut the body to heal the mind.
Thank you. And by the way, if they find your skeleton in the woods and some pathologist looks at it, they're going to go, oh, the pelvis, that was a boy. That was a girl. Yep. Pretty simple here, kids.
Exactly right.
I mean, it's terrible. And like I said, nobody here hates transgender people. We're not talking about that. We're trying to protect these children. And adults do it too, and we can't do much if they're over 18. Trying to protect these children from being institutionalized and institutionally destroyed is really what's happening here. And I, when you and I did this podcast, and people can look up my podcast, Heidi Harris Show, it's on the Odyssey app or anywhere you get podcasts. I put some links to actual pictures of what has happened with them trying to recreate what they cut off of, or when it's a girl and they try to recreate something for a boy. I'm going to be clean about this here. put it up there because people need to know what they're dealing with. And all this is doing is making people, some people, a lot of money and making a lot of other people very miserable. And it's got to stop.
It is, Heidi, I genuinely believe that it is one of the worst social and medical scandals of all time. And I think it's particularly pernicious because, unlike previous medical scandals, say, like, you know, thalidomide or the opioids or, you know, medical scandals of yesteryear, lobotomies or whatever, none of those were attached to sort of a psychological conditioning effort to make medicalization a part of who you are. Yeah. These young people who are being lured down this path, and even I'll even use the word groomed, they come to believe that in order to be who they are, to have an identity, they have to become experiments of the medical establishment. Right. I don't know of any previous medical scandal where, you know, being drugged and irreversibly carved up, sorry to be crass here, but like, I don't know of any previous medical scandal where there was this process of brainwashing to make you think that you have to be who you are and to do these things to your body. It's like a form of self-actualization almost. There weren't lobotomy identities or thalidomide identities. It's like, mm-hmm. it wasn't attached to your psychological well-being like this stuff is. I think that's what's so ugly and predatory about it, particularly because a lot of these young people, as you say, are already struggling with other psychiatric issues. They're already dealing with abuse or trauma or depression or other mental health struggles. So children and young people that are already having a hard time in life are then told that in order to be who they are, they have to drug their bodies further with chemicals and hormones that their systems aren't designed to handle. And they have to, you know, cut off body parts, which is then going to affect their other systems. Because if you say, if you're a young person, you're a young man, and you cut off your testicles, that's going to compromise your endocrine system. Mm-hmm. if your body isn't just a robot where you can just chop certain parts off, and it's not going to function because we are integrated, entire organisms that are meant to function with all of our systems intact.
That's
so
right.
You can't just do this and treat like it's, you're not just a Mr. Potato Head. That's not how it works.
Exactly right. I think I saw a story about Mr. Potato Head now being able to interchange parts, and we won't veer off on that. I was thinking too about the idea that there are a lot of kids who have other problems at home, problems feeling alienated for whatever reason, and they find a quote unquote online community. And then that community convinces them they need to join their community. But the minute they have questions or decide, well, I'm not so sure, when that community completely rejects them. And that's another hurt to these kids who already are feeling alienated from the group, any group.
The cult-like dynamics are unmistakably just that. And I don't think it's, I mean, I secular, it, you know, sometimes people think of cults as just this kind of religious thing. Well, there are religious cults and there are secular cults. Yeah. And when you have a belief system that does not allow you to question, there's ostracism when you dare to dissent and you're just sort of punished and excluded and shunned from the group. It's very cult-like. It absolutely is that way. And yes, it's so strong that I know of, especially online where a lot of this is cultivated, there are these phrases that gets tossed around amongst trans activists and those who have been, you know, lured into this. They say death before detransition. That's what they say. It's that strong. They feel like they have to double down and die before they can ever admit that they were wrong and undergo the process of detransitioning, even though that's not a thing because nobody transitions, but you know what I mean. It's like you can't, the belief is that strong that you have to believe the lie so hard that you would rather die than confront the truth that in fact, no, you got snookered and you were lied to, that your body wasn't okay.
Yeah, we got people right now who still back Fauci after all the stuff that's come out. We don't veer off on that. We won't do that today, but very important. Brandon Showalter, Christian Post. Follow him, everybody, on at the Christian Post. Follow what he does. I've been following him for years. Thank you for taking the time, my friend, and thank you for your clarity, and thank you for your guts in this world of crazy people in the culture.
Thank you, Heidi. Appreciate it.
Thanks. I'm Heidi Harrison.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Reardon. Hey, Sue, I got some good news for you. Ready?
I'm ready.
The St. Charles City County Library has recently reviewed a request for reconsideration. Somebody was upset about the King James Version of the Bible being in their library. And what? The trustees actually, believe it or not, the trustees actually had to have a conversation about this. Can you believe they had to meet instead of just out of hand dismissing it, which is what they should have done, right? And they've decided to retain the Bible in the library's collection. Isn't that nice?
Well, that is nice. I can't believe they had to deal with that either. What was the contention?
Well, here's the thing. There was a guy from St. Peter's. He submitted the challenge. He claims it was not specifically for trying to get the Bible banned from library shelves, though he told the Post-Dispatch that the challenge was meant to protest the library's policy against displaying LGBTQ flags.
There it is.
Now, here's the thing when it comes to the flags. Why is anybody, I mean, why are you waving a flag? Why do we care about your sex life at a library? It's all about the books, right?
Yeah, I don't really get that. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. And they act like if you don't, you know, raise the flag in June, that apparently you're a bad person or you hate people. No one hates people. But how many flags are we going to put up there? This flag, that flag? Everyone's got a flag and a point of view, right?
No, I get it. Yes, it's crazy.
And then trying to ban the Bible as a result. You know, saw a story today, speaking of prayer, there was this New Jersey, Mickey Sherrill, the governor of New Jersey, has now signed a bill that could potentially, they don't say praying specifically, but it could potentially make it illegal to pray outside of an abortion clinic. Because they could call that interference. Why are they so afraid of people praying? What's so scary about that? Could it be God? Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Which also ties in. Oh, we're running out of time, aren't we? Okay, we'll talk about this. We got more. We got more to come up with. We're up against the clock, aren't we? Okay, I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Reardon, who's out at the golf course having a good old time. Dan Reardon's here. No relation, though. KMOX golf correspondent. Also out in the air-conditioned tent eating the good food out at the BMW Championship at Belle Reve, I think. Aren't you in the tent there having the air conditioning, or what's going on?
Well, I'll shock you, Heidi, because this year they put the media inside the clubhouse. I was stunned when I saw that, and we are in luxurious conditions in terms of this golf championship.
Nice. Very nice. A lot of people out there. We were talking to Frank Cusimano earlier. Said there was something like 28,000 people out there today?
Yesterday we had 28.4. I think the number is going to go up today. They won't put out that number until tomorrow morning. But I know I talked to the director of golf out here, Mike Tucker, and he was anticipating they could get as high as 35 today. And then tomorrow and Sunday are a complete sellout. So they're going to put up serious numbers in terms of galleries. And that's sort of why they came to St. Louis, because every time golf comes to St. Louis comes to golf.
Well, that's true. You know, and St. Louis is such a great sports town in so many ways, and it's great to see them show up. And it's great that it's a beautiful weekend, too. What a great weekend for it.
And that was the bonus. You know, we were concerned because they were playing in Memphis last week, and they had triple digits every day, and the players were just beaten down by the heat. And they thought they were coming to St. Louis and facing the same thing. And when they leave here, they go to Atlanta for the last golf event of the season, and they know it's going to be high temperatures. But when they got here and found out they had temperatures in the 80s, the mood of the players was obviously different. They didn't expect this to be one of the oaks. As it turns out, like I said, it's been perfect. It's 80 degrees, overnight lows in the 60s, really good. And by the way, we've had a change at the top of our leader just before we came on, because Wyndham Clark, who is the current U.S. Open championship, finished his round. He's at 12 under par, 64-64 for the first 2 days. And he has a one-stroke lead over Gary Woodland. And Woodland's an interesting story because he grew up in Kansas, and he considers this, he said this is the closest he will ever play golf in relationship to his home. And he's got a bunch of friends and family over here from Kansas. So it's been a sort of an interesting couple of days here at Belle Reve.
Well, you never know. How's Scottie Scheffler doing?
Scheffler healed his cases pretty well today. He shot 5 under par, 65. He's going to have to do the same thing for the next 2 days. But he started the day with 44 players ahead of him on the leaderboard. He now has 23 players ahead of him on the leaderboard. Now the problem is he can play extremely well, but he needs the guys ahead of him to not play so well in order to make up grounds. He said afterwards, He said, I shot 30 on the back nine. Or he said, I need to shoot the same thing I shot on the back nine the four times over the weekend, which meant he thinks he needs to go out and shoot 60-60, and I don't think he's going to do that.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, there's still 2 days to go. So, and now, what's the main prize? Is the grand prize is how much? I read it was $10 million. Am I wrong about that?
The total purse is $20 million.
Okay.
The winner this week gets 3.6.
Okay.
Next week, 3.6. It goes to 10. Next week for the FedEx Championship, it goes to 10. And it's been, like I said, everything has worked well for the galleries, for the club. Everybody is pleased with what's going on. And that's not always the case in golf. We had bad weather. We had rain, two inches of rain at the beginning of the week, and the course rebounded very well. So this is going to be a win for St. Louis once again.
That is fantastic. Now, let me ask a dumb question here that people who play golf would know. If they get a lot of rain prior to and then it clears up for the tournament days, is that going to make the course too soggy, or does it depend on the climate as far as how quickly the grass dries? I mean, is that good or bad for the golfers?
No, your golf sense is very good. And the players will freely admit that the golf course, particularly the greens, got soft. And so when they land the ball on the green, they know it's just going to stay where it lands. It may back up a little bit, but they don't worry about the firm greens and the ball bouncing hard and not being able to control it. So the rain has been probably a disappointment to the club, because they would like the scores to be a little lower than they are, or higher, I guess, than they are. But a bonus for the players, because this course is not nearly as dangerous as it might have been had we had triple digit temperatures.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I never thought about the fact that when it's dry, that's when the ball goes, you know, right off the green into the rough or something else. Even when you land it initially, I never thought about that. Whereas it's going to stick when it's raining. These are all things that people need to know, that obviously the greenskeepers are aware of and all the golfers are aware of, because every single week, every day, the situation they're playing in changes, right?
Well, and Heidi, I've heard you talk in the past. I think you have a lot of familiarity with the Nevada golf, and the change there is you play at altitude, and then the distances change. You know, a club that you hit one distance at sea level becomes a totally different distance when you get to sea at altitude. And so when they do the celebrity event at Lake Tahoe, that's an adjustment that those amateurs have to make.
And that's why they call it golf, because all the other four-letter words were taken, right? You've heard that before. I didn't make that up, obviously. What now? We're speaking with Dan Reardon, of course, not Mark Reardon, seen somewhere out there on the golf course. So who do you predict is going to win this? You think Wyndham Clark's going to win it? What are you thinking?
You know, I get caught between who I think's going to win and who I want to win. And I can tell you who I want to win.
Okay.
I want Gary Woodland to win this championship, because Gary Woodland in spring did a devastating interview. He had brain surgery. He didn't know if he was ever coming back to play golf. He's fought his way back onto the tour. He suffers from PTSD. There are times on the golf course where the caddy has to coax him to move forward and stay within what's going on. It's a gradual comeback. And he has won since that time. And when he won last year, or when he won coming back from it, it was a big thing in the world of golf. And this is a big, big event. And he's never made it to Atlanta to the Tour Championship. And actually, if you wanted to really pursue the story, there's a great story about Gary Woodland and a Down syndrome girl going back to the Phoenix Open. So who I think is going to win, you know, Clark is a tough enough guy to hold up over 4 days. But would I like to see Gary Woodland win? Absolutely.
I think a lot of people would, don't you? Frank Cusumano said the same thing.
Yeah. It's just such a good story. And I don't care what sport it is. You always want a good story. And that's not to say that J.J. Spahn, or even if you want drama, you would want Scottie Scheffler coming from, 44th position in the field to win on Sunday. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, but it's always a good story, and people do like those side stories. And you know, it's a great comeback story for him, for Gary Woodland. It'd be great to see it happen. Well, have a great time out there this weekend. It's going to be tons of fun, and the weather's going to be perfect. And, you know, potentially 40,000 people, you said, tomorrow and Sunday each day.
Yeah, it could be as high as that total. Yes, Heidi. And thanks for the invitation.
That's great. Thank you for being here. Have a good time out there. That's fun. That's fun. That's good. It's good to see everybody out there, and it's good to see everybody, you know. I mean, St. Louis is such an amazing sports town anyway. people are so excited to see these kinds of events come to town and so happy to support them. Isn't it cool, Ethan? Are you going out there, right? Both days or
I wish I was. I'm not gonna get to go out there, unfortunately.
What? Oh, that's right. I asked you that earlier and you said you whined a little bit. No, I'm kidding.
I was on it. I just wasn't on getting a credential, and it's too expensive. It's very expensive to go. I mean, triple digit tickets. I mean, it's the demand is certainly high, but you know, like you said, St. Louis is just such a great sports town and they do well with these things. And you know, I as much as it sucks for me, I love that the prices are high because it means the demand is there, because you know, they're going to break records this weekend for the BMW Championship. And you know, we need these kinds of events here in St. Louis. You know, we had March Madness here in March, just a few months ago, and it did extremely well here. And it had been a long time since it had been here. There's a lot of different events like that that you could point back to. The Frozen Four, the College Hockey Final Four was here last year. These events constantly do well when they're here. We need them here. St. Louis needs to do a better job of drawing them here, because every time that they do show up, the fans show up, and it's always a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and that's good, and it's great that the weather's good, because that even though I don't care where you are, the weather can turn. Everybody knows that. Certain parts of the country more easily than others, but that's, you know, that's a great showing for them to see, for to come back, to encourage all the golf gods to want to come back.
It's, you know,
between
is.
The crowds and the weather and everything and the greens and everything, it's going to be a fun weekend.
And it's a beautiful course, and there's a lot of good courses in St. Louis and Missouri, but I mean, I think most would probably tell you that Bellerive is the top spot here in St. Louis. So you know, it's cool to see them back out there. You know, the last time that they were here, Heidi, was in 2018. And that is when Tiger Woods had the start of his comeback before winning the Masters. It was just a couple of months later, a little more than that, Tiger had, he had begun his comeback. He finished second here in St. Louis. I forget what tournament that was. But there's this iconic shot of him walking over the hill towards 18 in, like, right there in the mix with everyone. And the crowds are just following Tiger, and it was such a cool moment. It was cool for St. Louis to be connected with a historic golf moment there for a guy that was back on the rise after having so many challenging years, not being able to stay healthy and whatnot. So that was a super cool moment several years ago. It's great to see St. Louis delivering awesome moments here for the game of golf once again.
Yeah, and everybody loves those kind of stories. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about the WNBA. I'm not that interested in it, the topic in general, but it's coming up. And, you know, it's not a racial thing. I mean, like you mentioned about Tiger Woods. I mean, I can't tell you how much golf I watched when Tiger Woods was playing, as opposed to before that, Tiger's not playing this week. Okay, who cares? It's not a racial thing. It's just some players are interesting and exciting to watch, and some players are not as exciting to watch. And that's just the truth. It's got nothing to do with the color of their skin.
No, the problem is when you start making it about that, because you're forgetting that people are just human beings. I think personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with acknowledging it, but when you make that the headlining thing, I think you are drifting away from the point of what is happening. Tiger Woods wasn't great because he's black. He's great because he was a great golfer, one of the greatest of all time.
Right.
In the same way, Caitlin Clark isn't amazing because she's white. She's amazing because she's doing something that no one has ever done for the WNBA before. So right. I think it's important just to focus in on what makes these athletes special is their abilities, first and foremost.
Well, yeah, their abilities and personalities. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when people like, John McEnroe, Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert, they were fun to watch. They were characters. They were personalities. The tennis that was played back then, it just seems so different than today. I mean, there was no vanilla. Everyone was yelling at the people sitting up in the chairs, the judges, and it was just, there were a lot of characters, which made it interesting to watch. And there have been times since where in tennis you go, oh, you're good, but does anyone really care? And that happens. That's there are a few people who will come in and make it very exciting, and then other people who are equally talented, but they just don't draw the eyeballs. And that's what happens a lot of times.
You said it.
Anyway, it'll be a lot of fun for the weekend. I'm glad a lot of folks are getting to go. Not you, but everyone else is going to be out there. So that's good. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Rudin.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Rudin. Here's our cut of the day.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I tried to write a column through the eyes of two student athletes who were kind of speaking out against biological males in girls / women's sports. They said, oh, we're looking at it. Let me give it to this editor. This editor is going to have a talk with the top two editors. And 6 days later, they decided it wasn't going to run. And I had a feeling it wasn't going to run based on past experiences with columns getting spiked. And I just decided to resign on the spot. It sounds like an emotional decision. It sounds like a rage quit kind of thing. It wasn't something I was totally ready to do just because I felt, I couldn't do my job as a columnist because I feel like they were, stifling my voice.
No question. That's Matt Calkins, who was working for the Seattle Times for 11 years. He worked there and he left after they refused to run a column where he was basically highlighting a couple of young girls who one of them was 16 years old. He referenced her, Annalie Wilson. She lost to a biological male in a track and field race in eighth grade. And she happened to be at a game watching Sophie and holding up a sign saying, "Thank you, Sophie, for speaking up for girls." And there was another student athlete named Frances Stott, who said she's endured daily verbal abuse after refusing to play against a biological boy in a basketball game. So he writes this column featuring these girls who have a point of view. Whether you agree with their point of view or not, I happen to agree with them. I don't want them hurt by biological boys. And what kind of a wussy guy is too wussy to play with the boys and you got to play with the girls? Can you imagine that? When we were growing up, kids playing sports together, there were some things we did together when we were real little. But when you start getting older, the boys are playing with the boys and the girls are playing with the girls. And a boy who came over to play with the girls would be laughed at by the other boys. But now we've got boys who want to come play with the girls. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous. But I don't blame this guy for resigning because it wasn't the only column that they had spiked. And let's be honest, you're a columnist. You have to put out a certain amount of columns, maybe every Sunday, maybe every Sunday, Wednesday. It's not easy. There are days you just, anyone who's ever written anything, there are days you go, nothing really interests me. I don't know what to write about. I can't think of anything. It's not an easy job. So this guy takes the time to research, do the interviews, blah, 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 all these different columns that he's written, and they won't print them because they don't like the point of view. Meanwhile, anybody, I see things, I don't know about y'all, but every single day when I look at the newspaper and I like an old school physical newspaper, read the newspaper, read all kinds of things every day on the internet that I don't agree with. Sometimes I read them. Sometimes I skip past the headlines because I don't really care. Other times I read it because the point of view is something that interests me, even if I don't agree. And most people do. You can just look at it and choose not to look at it. But the Seattle Times spiked it. He wasn't allowed to even put this stuff out because it was an alternate point of view. It reminds me of the COVID things that people were putting out. Remember all the COVID censorship? I mean, I got my entire YouTube channel shut down because I put a video up just stating my reasons for not taking COVID shots. Just mine, not giving anyone else medical advice. I'm not qualified to do that, but I just stated my reasons for that. They completely shut my channel down. And a lot of people dealt with a lot of that kind of thing. So now he's writing on a Substack. God bless him. But you know what? It takes guts to walk away from a situation like that. He just decided he wasn't going to do this. And he has nothing bad to say about the Seattle Times. He didn't trash anybody. He talked about how talented a lot of people were and everything. But he said the best things in life are free, speech being at the top of the list. He's going to keep writing in this Substack space. He said maybe that'll spawn a new career, or maybe I'll be a dental assistant in 2 years. Right. And maybe he'll just do it. You know, some people do things for free, podcasts or you know, obviously columns, things like that. They don't necessarily make a lot of money at it, but they have the outlet. And God bless America that we still have those. But it's just, it's shameful and despicable that a newspaper, and it, he wasn't gossiping. He was sharing the stories of two young ladies who don't want to be beat up by a guy they're competing with. I mean, hello, this is obvious. No, you can't even put their point. No, we're not going to print that. Oh, really? Okay. And I had a friend who worked in news in my town, which is Vegas, and there were all kinds of stuff that she dealt with during the COVID. She didn't do that anymore, but during COVID, when somebody would have a story that was contrary to the company line, she'd say, well, what about this? They'd say, oh, no. What about that? Oh, no. No, there was no other point of view allowed at all. And the thing is, the genie's out of the bottle. People have brains and they have computers and cell phones now. And so it's real tough to completely put everything in a bottle and stop everyone from seeing other points of view. You can't really do it. But they're trying, boy. They still try. Shut everybody down. And so you think we have free speech in this country? We do in some arenas, but in a lot, it's still, unfortunately, not as free as it should be. I'm Heidi Harris. It's been great sitting in for Mark. He will return on Monday. Hope you all have a good time if you go out to the golf tournament or something else. Enjoy the beautiful weekend. Thanks, everybody.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.